We see here another transition in the book of Acts. And like every transition in this book, it tells us something about the church at this time. And whenever we hear something about the church at this time, we also learn something about what it means to be the church now. And in our reading for today, we have a perfect example of this. Luke focuses here on the care and the concern which they had for one another. We see in our reading a wonderful example of Christian love in action. So let's look at verse 32, which says this. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. Now I think it's important right away here to say what this verse is not saying. Because we might hear Luke talking about people saying that no one has his own things, or that they had everything in common, and we might think in terms of politics today. We might think that that sounds kind of communist, as if the church, early church, didn't believe in private property or something like that, that they just held everything in common and it was all together. In fact, you'll sometimes hear communists using this very verse as a support for their ideas. But Christians, the church is not communist. Communism is contrary to the scriptures. Karl Marx hated religion, Christianity in particular, and communists have always opposed the church. Like if you go over to China right now, there's a push in the Christian churches there to replace all the pictures of Jesus with their president. They're trying to get everyone to focus on the government and to make their system the focus of all of their beliefs. It's true that communists do oppose private property. They think that it is the source of all inequality. But they often go to great lengths to force their ideas on people, especially violently. You think of the Great Leap Forward in China, where they tried to force these ideas on the people, and millions starved to death because of it. Or the Holodomor, where the Soviet Union starved millions of Ukrainians simply for opposing their ideas. Communists have always tried to force their ideas into reality. And that's not the picture of the church at all. So what then does this verse mean, if that's what it doesn't mean? Well, notice that it says, first of all, that all those who believed were of one heart and soul. They were united to one another, both in terms of their faith and also in terms of love. Because being the church, first of all, means that we all believe the same things. Being a Christian is not about a matter of opinions. What we believe shapes who we are. And then what we do flows out of that. So just think in terms of the creed. We all believe in God the Father. We all believe in Jesus Christ, his Son. We all believe in the Holy Spirit. We all believe in what God has done for us when Jesus died and rose again. We all believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and so forth. This is what we hold in common. This is what unites us together as the body of Christ. And then our love flows out from that. And we see this happening here in the reading as well. The church is listening to the apostles. They're learning their teachings. And when disagreements arise, they strive to fix them, as we'll see especially later on in the book. We are one in God because we are first one in what we believe. That is the first step that we see here in this verse. And having that unity in faith then means we are also united in love. We love because God first loved us. And Luke shows us an example of this love in the care that they were showing towards the poor among them. No one said that anything was his own. Not that he didn't have any private property. as we will see later on, Barnabas sold one of his fields, but that didn't mean that he sold them all. Rather, to not think of anything as his own means that they're not holding anything back. They don't consider it to be just for themselves. They use what they have in the service of one another. They see the need, and they use it, even to the point of selling real estate to get money to be able to help the poor. That is what they are doing in showing Christian love toward one another, using what they have in the service of their neighbor. And when we think of it in those terms, Christians, it helps us to understand the purpose of wealth, of what it means to have anything at all. And I know it's true, the Bible in many places speaks against wealth. I mean, Jesus says that only with difficulty will a rich person enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Paul in 1 Timothy 6 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." But notice that Jesus does not say that it is impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He only says that it's difficult. And Paul does not say that money is the root of all evil, which is the way we often hear it quoted, but rather that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The danger is not the wealth. The danger is the temptation towards greed. Because too often, Christians, we are tempted to look at our money and what we have as something to use only for ourselves. I have what I have in order to satisfy my own desires. I have what I have as a way of getting the things that I want. And if I have anything left over after that, which in most cases is not going to be much, then I can use that to help others. I have no problem spending all kinds of money on myself. But charity is hard, because then I'm not really sure how I'm going to make it work. But God does not give us wealth as a stumbling block, Christians. It is sin which corrupts it. In fact, God very often blesses some of his saints with great wealth. Everything that we have is a gift of God. Think of Abraham. His servant says about him in Genesis 24, "The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys." God gave him all these things. These are not things that Abraham just accumulated by himself or for himself. It was all a gift from the Lord. And God gave him this wealth, and gives us our wealth, not just for our own sake, but as something to use for our neighbor's sake. Think of what Moses says in Deuteronomy 15. "For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor and in your land." I have what I have. I have money, I have wealth, so that I can care for those in need. My wealth is a means of showing Christian love towards someone else. First of all, of course, that means my family. I should take care of them first. We should always take care of those who are closest to us. But it moves outward from there to then take care of those who are one with us in the faith, that is the church, and even going on to show mercy to all people. I mean, our charity may be the way in which they come to believe in God. But that wealth is always meant for the service of my neighbor. It is given to me so that I can help the one who is in need. Barnabas is a great example of this in our reading. He saw that there were some fellow Christians who were in need, some especially poor people in Jerusalem, like widows and orphans, who didn't have anything at all. And even though he wasn't from Jerusalem, I mean, he's from Cyprus, he saw the need and he went home or sent a servant home to go sell one of his fields. And then he took the money from that field and gave it to the apostles because they would know who needed it the most. And he used that money then to take care of those who needed it. He was even willing to give up the control of it in Christian love towards others. He didn't give away all of his wealth. I mean, he's still a wealthy man even after selling that field. But he used what he had to show Christian love to those in need. So what then should we do, Christians? How do we put this into practice? Well, first of all, we should be aware of the need. I mean, too often we overlook these things or we just don't pay attention. Too often we're just concerned about ourselves and not really seeing what's happening with anyone else. But rather we should see who is hungry, see who is thirsty, see who is struggling or in any kind of need. Even as something as simple as someone who's struggling to pay their bills, any kind of need among us, we should be aware of these things. I'm not saying we should be nosy, getting into other people's business. Even Paul condemns a busybody. But we should be aware of more than just ourselves and our own needs. That would be the first step. Second, Christians, we should not hesitate to do something, especially if we can just take care of it ourselves. If someone needs something and we have what they need, just give it to them. Don't hesitate. You know, if they need money, give them that money. If they need a shirt, buy them one, whatever it may be. Use it as an opportunity to do good. It's not just someone else's problem. And third, if I can't do it myself, if I don't have the resources, bring it to the church. Let's care for the problem together. Because are we not one body in Christ? If all members are hurt, if one member is hurting, then all are hurting. I mean, that's the whole reason we set up our help fund, so that we would have the funds to be able to help people whenever the need may arise. And finally, Christians, we should give without expecting anything in return. Christian charity is not about keeping tabs, saying that they owe me one or that I'm going to get something back. How can it be love if I'm so begrudging about helping those in need? But rather, Christ gave what he gave to us without expecting anything in return. He died so that we might live. He rose again so that we might be forgiven. And when we are walking in him, Christians, we can do all of these things without asking to be repaid. Because it's not about what is mine and what is yours, but rather about helping the one who needs it. This is what Christ has called us to do, to walk in the way of true self-giving, to walk in the way of true Christian love. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who has given us every good thing so that we may help one another, help us to show love to one another as you have first loved us in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.